As a coffee sourcing company, Boca Steam is willing to build the future of specialty coffee in collaboration with the producing and the roasting worlds. In this regard, Nicholas, Chief Impact and CSR Officer, crossed Europe by train to meet roasters and talk about sustainability, social and environmental impacts of coffee production and consumption. You're listening to the Belco Euro Tours podcast.
Hi, I'm Bjørnar Hafslund. I work at Fuglen or Fuglen Coffee Roasters. I've been working with coffee all my grown-up life, I would say. But I've been with Fuglen for almost 3 years now, running the roastery and the operations here in Oslo.
How would you define what is specialty coffee today?
Big question. That's sort of the only real or concrete definition is the score. That is, I don't know what it is now. It doesn't really matter if it's 86 or what it is. But so that's one definition. I think for me, it's more about also the sustainability of things and the relationship of things. I'm not saying that all specialty coffee needs to have a relationship with a roaster and a producer, but to have some kind of relationship with something, and then also transparency needs to be part of the definition, I think. I don't think that you should call anything a specialty coffee without it having the possibility to be transparent.
Okay. Do you think the way we produce it and sell it today, distribute it, is sustainable, or whatever word would fit the best here?
Right. In a way, yes. Right now it's working, but we also know that things are changing all the time. So on a global level, I guess it's working right now. People are producing coffee. Roasters are getting good coffee, and the consumers are getting coffee. But on a personal, not me personally, but on a, if you go down to one producer, for example, there's a lot of producers that are struggling now and that can't maintain the status quo. So it depends on if you look at the big number or the small number. But things are definitely changing, we know that.
Today, what are your main buying criteria to buy coffee?
The biggest one is flavor or quality, I would say. We do work with people that we have bought from before, kind of relationship coffees, or coffees that fit a certain place in the menu. For us as a roastery, it would be strange to not have a coffee from Kenya during a year. I mean, it's not that hard to find good coffees from Kenya, but it's also something that we want to have on the menu.
Would you say that the quality in cup is the first top priority criteria?
Yes. It's hard to say that the second one is the relationship or the reoccurring coffee. I would like that maybe to be the first priority. If there is an agreement, or if there is a reoccurring coffee, then that should be priority one. So if I say, okay, the basis of my coffees are 86, if I have a relationship coffee that is scoring 85, I will buy it even though I have a rule of only buying over. So then it's fine. But if the coffee was 82, I would not buy it.
Okay. What do you think your consumers are looking for when they come to buy specialty coffee?
I think most people just want a good cup of coffee. That's the majority. They want something that they can enjoy. And then there's always people that come back for a certain origin or a certain type of coffee, maybe a specific roast that we have, but I think the majority of our clients are just wanting a good cup of coffee. Mm.
As a company, do you speak about social and environmental challenges at Origin?
Yeah, we do at some point. It's I would like to see it more systemized and more more publicly available, I guess. But it's something that we care about within the company and talk about within the company. We have yet to have a big lengthy sustainability report or a note that is saying what to do. So we kind of know without it being written down. And it's something that we do discuss, but it's not something that we have stated as such.
Are the social and environmental challenges of a producer clear for you?
I would say so. How monoculture is affecting the agriculture in all aspects, and coffee as well. And definitely the social impact. When we have a global crisis of some sort, then not saying that the coffee producer is always the poorest, but in many cases, they are not well off. And when the fuel prices increases a bit for us here in the western part of the world, it increases a lot for them, and it's a big factor.
For you, what is the future of specialty coffee?
Hopefully, maybe the change of definition to add more things. I think the traceability part is very important, and with the technology that is coming, it should also be easier to have things more traceable. That governments or groups are enforcing new regulations to improve this. So I think that's a positive thing.
Would you think consumers would understand the distribution of value on what they paid, what goes to the producer, what goes to the roaster, the importer?
I think it's hard for most people to understand the money and where the money goes. But I think that's maybe easier because you're coming from a big number and taking it down instead of going from a very low number and then seeing the 10 times price. That's much harder to accept, I think.
In terms of traceability, would you like to have, for each coffee you could buy, a map or an infography showing all the actors along the way? Because you can buy a coffee to a producer that can export and do everything, or you can buy to an exporter.
The more info, the better. And the more detailed info, I think, the better.
So that would be interesting for you as a professional. Would this be of an added value for you, for your consumers?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Regarding environmental impacts, as we were discussing before, when you look at most of the agricultural value chains, actually, most of the impact come from the farm. Is the sixth most emissive product, agricultural product in the world. What we'd like to show is really to try to find to create an indicator, something simple for a consumer to understand, and for a roaster also when buying a coffee to have this quickly. An indicator that shows basically what are the practices of a producer. It can be a color, a letter, a number, whatever, that takes into account, okay, is it agroforestry, is it like irrigation, is there chemical fertilizers, organic fertilizers, many things that make up a score, a color, something. Would that be something you would use to select your coffees or the producers you want to work with?
It may be, yeah, I think so.
And would you use it to give it to your consumers?
There's a lot of marketing involved. So if we were to select our coffees based on that, on the environmental impact, I think, of course, we should convey that further. I mean, we can't only act on just having to sleep well at night. We have to actually market that in a way and push that information forward.
On the impact, we'd like to be able to bring also something that could be understandable from origin to market, and something that we already all understand today, and it's carbon footprint of coffee. would you value to have a carbon footprint of your coffee?
Yes. We are a resourceful company and we're able to act on this, but I think also it would help to have some kind of system in place for ways to communicate. All the companies have their own way of communicating, of course, but I think that communication and how to do that, if there was like a package or if there was some kind of a tool to do this, it will help many roasteries.
What's your opinion about certifications?
They're very difficult. There is a goodwill of these certifications, and there's a lot of certifications I think that works mostly, but then there's also a lot of them that doesn't work. And I think a lot of those certifications are being used as examples that it doesn't work. We have some coffees that are organic certified. We don't make a big number out of it, but we do have some clients that asks for it. And in general, that's a sort of a light scale certification. It's people recognize it. It's an easy one. But again, on an individual level, on the farm practice, I know also a lot of stories that they're having a hard time sustaining the certifications. I mean, maybe they have their practices in order, but to keep that stamp is...
economically, for example?
It's breaking them economically. And with these strict rules that are maybe a bit too... square, too rigid. So... that's actually scaring away some people.
Do you think your consumers are aware of the environmental and social challenges of coffee people?
I do know that there's a moving trend, of course, a global trend that highlights the producer more or quality products in general. But I think, like I started with, most people, when they drink the coffee, even though it's good and they on the side trust that it's a good product and a quality product, I don't think they think too much about it.
Do you think we should communicate more about that?
Short answer, yes. I would love to.
At least maybe make sure they know it's an agricultural product. Do they know it's an agricultural product?
That one I do think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most people now, most of our consumers at least, know more than... they don't think it's a brown bean hanging on the tree anymore.
Did Fulin act towards that direction, like to make them understand?
Yeah, in ways. I think that that most people regard Fulin as a quality company. It's been that way for all the years. Before we started roasting, we bought coffee from the top roasters in Oslo. So I think that the quality foundation is there.
You think they also drink specialty, consume specialty, because they think it's better to consume this kind of coffee compared to another one?
If you ask consumers, they would say, if you ask them a direct question, is this a better product? They would think and they would say yes, but I don't think they would necessarily choose it because it's a better social impact than coffee.
After this discussion, if there's one thing we should do now, what should it be?
Adding more info on the websites. That goes for all the steps in the chain. I think that's the it's both easy and doable without a lot of action.
Okay, cool. Yeah, something very concrete that we can do now. Bjørnar, thanks a thousand times for welcoming us and participating in this crazy tour.
Thanks
for the answers and the open heart tonight.
Cool.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Belco Euro Tours podcast. This episode has been produced and directed by Stéphane Guinet from Le Filtre, www.fr and edited by Florent Sylvestre. Music by Vincent Tone.